You know, last week, I shared about the importance of being aware of the spiritual battle. How was your week this week? Was it a spiritual battle? Were you aware of it? Did you have any moments where you're like, wow, this is a spiritual battle? I think we as Christians need to ask God through His Spirit to make us aware of that, so that when it happens, we can consciously and intentionally come against what the enemy has in plan for our lives. Because we are at war. We are in a spiritual battle that is raging around us every day. Are we living in the present reality of that spiritual battle? And many times I am not, and I'm asking for myself, God, open my eyes. And like I shared last week with Elijah's servant, open our eyes that we may see that we have more with us than against us. But we are in a spiritual battle. And if we know that, we can fight the spiritual battle. But as long as we are not aware of it, we cannot win that battle. And last week, I also shared that we do not need to fear the enemy. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus defeated the enemy at the cross. All authority in heaven and earth was given to him. And through Christ, the devil went to the dentist. Right? The devil went to the dentist. And there's a couple pictures I want to share, if you could bring them up. He got his teeth pulled. You're pulling his teeth here. And of course, I had to bring up this next picture. I don't know, when I think of the lion, right? The Wizard of Oz. The devil went to the dentist. He got his teeth pulled. Now he wants to try to gum us to death. Jesus won. All power and authority is his. Do you believe that today? Do you believe it? To the deepest core. Not the feeling. I like to believe that he won. Are you experiencing it in your own life? Is it a reality? He wants to make it part of our lives. But there still are some questions that need to be answered. If the devil was defeated, why do so many Christians still live in bondage to sin and the world? Why are so many Christians wallowing in the garbage of failure and inadequacy? Why are so many Christians hopeless and overwhelmed by everyday life? If the devil is truly defeated, why does he seem to be winning the battle in so many Christians' lives? I mean, let's be honest. We have to look at those questions. If he was defeated at the cross, if his teeth were removed, why does it seem that he's winning so many battles in the Christian life? Why? I want you to listen to what Jesus said to the religious leaders who wanted to kill him in John chapter 8 in verse 44. In John 8 in verse 44, it says this. Jesus said, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Did you hear what Jesus said about the devil? He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth. He is a liar and the father of it. I think we need to realize from the day that Satan rebelled against God until now, he has become a master deceiver.
I mean, if you go back even to the very beginning, to the Garden of Eden, what happened there when he lured Eve and he lied to her that you could be like God, she gave in to his deception. When you look at why is the devil seem to be winning so many battles, it's because of the lie. He is a master deceiver. He is a liar. I mean, just look at all the different world religions when it comes to deception of the devil. Do you think all these religions just kind of popped up accidentally? All these people seeking to know the true God. As many of you guys know, my parents were Mormons for 18 years. My mom was raised Catholic, my dad Methodist. They didn't hardly ever go to church, but that's who they professed to be. Yet they were Mormons for 18 years. And if you look at the Mormon faith, there are some very close similarities. And if you went into a Mormon church, you might even agree with a lot of the things you hear right up front. But I remember when I was younger, I was living on Whidbey Island, and there was this girl, Carol, and she was my lady I'd like to go get my hair cut from. And I was talking to her, and she was a Christian, but she was dating a Mormon. And I was trying to tell her, and I was much younger and shyer back then, but that they were not Christians, and she did not agree with me. But we were raised with Mormons. And they preached Jesus, he died on the cross, he rose from the dead. Oh, the gospel, right? Well, according to Galatians, there are false gospels. There is not true gospels. And if you go deeper into the Mormon faith, you begin to see that it is not the same as us. They are preaching a different gospel. And she didn't realize that. She was not a strong Christian, and she got sucked into the deception of Mormonism, just like my parents did until God rescued them and drew them out of the Mormon church into Christ, into Christianity. Satan loves to deceive. Just because he was defeated, that did not take away his desire and his gift at deceiving. Deception. He's good at it. So not only is he a great deceiver, he's a master liar, and he's a manipulator. In Revelation chapter 12, in verse 10, it describes Satan as being the accuser of the brethren. He lies, he accuses. He lies, he accuses. He tempts you to fall, and then he attacks you for it being your fault. He's good at it. Satan's power resides in the lie. If he can convince us to believe a lie, he has us under his power. Earlier I asked, why are Christians defeated? Why are so many Christians hopeless? Not all Christians, but why are many Christians defeated? Why are so many living hopeless? Why are Christians being held captive by sin in the world? It is because we are believing his lies. He's defeated, but we still believe his lies because he is a master liar and deceiver and manipulator. These lies that he loves to feed into our very emotions and feed into our mind. And when I say the devil, I'm just saying generally. I don't think the devil attacks me. I'm not important enough for the devil to attack me. When I say the devil, I mean the spiritual battle, the demons. And even scripture would even point to a possible even like a hierarchy. When you look in Ephesians chapter 6, when it says principalities, powers, and all this, that some believe that there's this hierarchy there. That devil is over this world of demons, and there's a hierarchy. So devil's not going to be after me. He's going to be after the big shots, right? But when I say the devil attacks or things come into mind, I just mean the spiritual battle, the demons, and other things. But these demons, the devil, loves to feed into our mind, into our emotions, such thoughts as this. Tell me if you've experienced this. Or think about, have you experienced this? You're a failure.
You are worthless. You can never change. God is so disappointed in you. You can never find victory over that area of sin or addiction.
And then even sometimes the devil even goes deeper besides coming against our very self-image. I love that song about who I am, right? I'm a child of God. That's who you say I am, right? But he loves to come against who we are in Christ. But then he even goes deeper at times. Have you ever had these thoughts come into your mind? You know, is there really a God? Is this all just a fantasy? If there was a God, why doesn't he show himself to the world so they'll be saved? You know, all roads, all religions lead to God. As long as you sincerely search for God, you will get into heaven. You know, Jesus was a good man. He was a good prophet. He was a good moral teacher. You know, Jesus never claimed to be God. And the list goes on and on, lie after lie after lie. And many of us, even when you look at your own life, we've believed those lies. And by believing those lies, we give power to a defeated enemy. If we want to overcome the enemy in our lives, we need to do what? How do you overcome a lie? You believe the what? The truth. If we begin to proclaim and believe the truth, we expose his lies and we make him powerless. Because he's very powerless. It all resides in the lie. We need to believe the truth, not kind of. Not we kind of hope or wish it's true. We must believe it to the deepest part of our being. Belief that acts is faith. How many of us say we believe things, but we don't live it? So it really tells us we really truly don't believe it. For truth exposes the lie, the truth brings freedom, the truth disarms the devil and his lies and his power over our lives. We need to believe the truth. But what the enemy does is he feeds unbelief into our lives, and we think we believe, kind of, and half-heartedly, and we see God, we seems like God doesn't do anything because we don't really believe it. We go to church and we've listened to his lies and we don't come against it by the truth. So we, as Christians, to overcome the lie, we need to saturate our lives with what? The truth. We need to take a bath in the truth of God. We need to go through a body cleanse. Has anyone here gone through a body cleanse like a colon cleansing or anything? Where sometimes if you want your colon, which is for the digestive system, there's some people that are really into when they exercise or they're into, you know, they're wanting to kind of go through and detox their body or whatever. They go through, they call it like a cleansing. And some like to do a colon cleansing where you don't eat regular food for a while. And what happens is when you go through and you do this cleansing, it helps your digestive system and it helps eliminate some of the waste from your body. So over a period of time, if you go through this colon cleansing, you'll only drink certain type of fruit juice or apple juice with lemon, ginger, and sea salt. And that's all you drink for a while. And not to be kind of gross, but you'll be amazed what really comes out of you when you do that over a period of time. You instantly lose weight. The few pounds of all that stuff that's inside your digestive system gets flushed out. Some describe it like a tar-type substance. Gross. As Christians, we need to go through a spiritual colon cleanse. We need a truth cleanse. Where truth comes in and we bathe in it, and that's what we just fill our lives with the truth. But the problem is there's all these lies, the things we read, the music we listen to, the movies we watch, the people we hang out with. All these things come in that are not of the truth. We need to go through and just be saturated in God's truth. So today I would like to talk about three sources of truth that we need to regularly intake into our spiritual cleansing or spiritual diet. Three sources of truth. What is our first source of truth? The first source of truth is found in John 14, verse 6, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the truth. All scripture through Genesis to Revelation all point to Jesus. Jesus said in John chapter 8, in verses 31 to 36, he says this. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I'm going to stop there for a second. You guys know that song they had up here earlier about the truth? "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." This week isn't crazy. Normally on Wednesdays, I send them the title of my message. I didn't this week. Does God want to say something? I did not talk to them at all what I was talking about this week. And right here in God's word, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." No question. The Son makes you free. You will be free indeed. Jesus is the one who sets us free. When Jesus came, in John, you come across the seven I ams of Jesus. I'm just going to briefly mention these I ams of Jesus. He said in John 63:5, "I am the bread of life." He said in John 18:8-12, "I am the light of the world." He said in John 10:7, "I am the door of the sheep." He said in John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd." In John 11:25, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life." In John 14:6, he said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And in John 15:1, he says, "I am the true vine." You know, the Christian and Missionary Alliance declares the fourfold gospel, and that is Jesus is our Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. When we hear these incredible truths about Jesus, does it do anything for you? Shouldn't it get us pumped up that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, lives in me? The truth lives in me through Jesus. Shouldn't we, that get us pumped up and fired up? Shouldn't Jesus become the passionate focus of our everyday life? Or are we like the church in Ephesus, where we've lost the first love of Jesus in our lives? Should not he be our fantasy, our obsession, our romance? Should that not be Jesus? Do you remember when you first fell in love? You sleep, but you kind of wake up thinking about that person. When you wake up, you try to call that person. When you can't get a hold of that person, you daydream about that person. And you can't wait to spend time with that person. And when you spend time with that person, the butterflies in your tummy, and you're excited to be with them. Should we not have that with Jesus? Do you have that with Jesus? Not a dead religion. Not deadness of a church. Jesus is truth. He is the life. When he says, I am the true vine, you know what that means? Then he says, we're the branches. And the branches have to be part of the vine. To have that life, to have the truth permeate us, we need to be part of Jesus. We need to spend time with Jesus. I don't think we realize how close Jesus is really to us. I was sharing with the kids as I'm going through a series on how to spend time with God. And I talked about, you know what? Jesus is closer than we realize. In Acts chapter 17, in verse 28, Paul said this, "For in him we live, we move, and we have our very being." You are here right now. Because God the Father and Jesus, who is the Word, who is God, created the world, and you are breathing right now. You came to church. Your health, your existence is because of Him. If God was to take His hand away from the world, it would go into chaos. He's the one that keeps it in order. Think about it. Jesus is our source of life and strength. He wants us to walk in freedom, no question. He wants to fill us with joy and peace, His joy and peace. He wants to be our closest friend. If we want to overcome the lies of the enemy in our lives, we need to keep close to Jesus. Are you close to Jesus? I'm busy, Reed. I have kids. I have a family. I have a job. Are you keeping close to Jesus? He wants to be close with you in those things. But we make Jesus, we make Christianity this dead, lifeless religion. We go there because we don't want to go to hell, and we hope we're living right. We hope we might make it, and that's not Christianity. Christianity is Jesus. That's everything in Christ. When we come to heaven, it won't be a scale of our right and wrongs. It won't be a scale, okay, you're in because you're bad, you're good outside, outweighs your bad. No, when you get into Jesus, it depend. When you get into heaven, when you get to heaven or to judgment, it will depend if you get into heaven by what you did with Jesus. And if you know Jesus, will He say, I knew you, or will He say, I never knew you, depart from me? So our first source of truth against the enemy is Jesus. And I want to ask you, is Jesus your first love? Do you want Him to be your first love? The second source of truth, and He works in perfect harmony with Jesus, is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 16 in verses 13 to 15, just before He was crucified, before He rose from the dead, He said this about the Holy Spirit. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you the things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has are Mine, therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. So according to this passage, we learn several incredible things about the Holy Spirit. First, the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus. He is the number one cheerleader of Jesus. You get these great movements of the Holy Spirit. People get caught up in signs and wonders. And so many times they lose Jesus. The Holy Spirit always glorifies Jesus above anything else. He points to Jesus. And how do you know if the Holy Spirit is at work in your life? you want to know Jesus more? That's a test. Do you yearn to know Jesus? Philippians 2:13 says, it is God who works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And that comes through the Holy Spirit. If you don't have a desire to know Jesus more, there may be deadness and you may need to pray, oh God, I need fresh life. I need a fresh desire for Jesus. We've all been there in seasons of our lives. I don't think anyone could say you've never got to that season where you've kind of lost sight of Jesus. The Holy Spirit reminds us of Jesus. Secondly, the Holy Spirit, he is the Spirit of truth. If we want to know the truth about God and life, he is the one that reveals it to us. He reveals to us God's incredible plans. He reveals what God is like. He reveals how to live in him, how to have victory. It's through the work of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 2, in verses 9 to 10, listen to this. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. The Holy Spirit reveals the very heart of God to us. The Holy Spirit knows our future and could reveal the things to come. But there's one other important fact about the Holy Spirit. He is the one that helps us resist sin and overcome sin in our lives. The Holy Spirit helps us overcome sin, and then he produces the fruit of the Spirit in our life. So in exchange for sin, he produces fruit. Galatians 5:16 says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In verse 22, it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If we want to overcome the enemy, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to know how to walk by the Spirit and not by our flesh. He wants to be our helper. He wants to reveal the truth. He wants to expose the lies of the enemy. So we need to surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's why sometimes we pray, Holy Spirit, come. Work in me. Reveal the sin in me, the false gods in my life. Reveal them to me, and through your help as my helper, give me the strength to overcome it. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, work in us. How do you know if the Holy Spirit is working in you? The evidence of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are you going to get all those at once, all those in full? No. It's a journey. But that's the evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit. If that is not evident, then you aren't seeing the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. There's something holding you back. That is the evidence of it. And then we come to the very last source of truth I want to talk about today, and it is the truth of God's Word. John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is partially true. No, your word is truth. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. God has given us his word to know the truth. If we want to know the truth, it is found in his word. There are too many Christians that go by their feelings, their opinions, and what they think should be right or wrong. I remember meeting with a Christian couple, with a couple that was not married, but they considered they were Christians, and they were living together. When I brought up their situation, that it wasn't right, that they, if they wanted the blessing of God in their life, they needed to get this area right with God. What did they do? God's word. Yeah, I want to line up with God's word. No, all these feelings. Oh, I love that person. If I'm not with that person, I don't know if I want to keep living. All these feelings that were not based on the truth. No feeling. I remember meeting with them and just saying, hey, let's do this. God has a plan for your life. They gave in to that inroad of the enemy in their lives. I also remember talking to a single guy one time, and he was dating an unbeliever, and I just said, hey, you know what? You know, that's against what the Word of God says. And I brought it up to him, and what did he say to me? Well, I had a friend tell me that I needed to follow my heart. Oh, how sweet. Follow your heart in disobedience to God's truth. God does not give us his truth to make our life boring. He gives us the truth so that we may have life and have it more abundantly. We think the lie's good until we get into it. We discover it's not. I remember when I was a youth pastor years ago, and I would always have hot chocolate with the kids, and one day I decided, as I was talking about sin, to put cayenne pepper in the hot chocolate. So I put all this cayenne pepper in it, and I sprayed this whipping cream on it. It looks good. It looks fun. And they drank it, and all of a sudden, well, it's hot, and whatever. And I wanted to teach a lesson that sin looks awesome, looks good. We yearn for it. Our flesh yearns for it. Our spirit says no. The Spirit of God says no, but our flesh wants it. We get it. It's like, oh, it's not as good as I thought. Maybe the next sin will be better. And we keep going in the cycle of sin over and over again, and it never satisfies. We need to live by the truth, not our feelings and our opinions. Even though there's things in Scripture we don't understand, the last say should be God. The last say should be God. His word is truth. He gave it to us so we may know him. He gave us his word that we may know the things that please him. He's given us his word so we can stand against the enemy. 1 Corinthians 10:5-6 says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We are in a spiritual battle. Anything that comes against the knowledge of God, we cast it down. When thoughts and feelings flood into our heart or in our mind, we cast it out. We reject it with the truth of God's word. With the truth of God's word. We bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. When Jesus battled the devil, who did he battle the devil with? God's word, right? He verbally declared God's word. So when we have a thought, feeling, or impression that comes to our mind, we first need to filter it through God's word. If it is contrary to God's word, we reject it. And you know what? One way to do this is we take a scripture. If you have that thing that you struggle with, you take that scripture and go, no, I reject that. Just say it verbally. I reject that in the name and power of Jesus Christ. And you declare God's truth and say it and read it, for it is living and powerful. Declare the truth. You have thoughts come into your mind. You are a failure. You declare the truth of John 1:12. I am God's child. I am not a failure. And don't listen to it. Yes, you may fail, but God does not look at you as a failure. He looks at you as his child, his son. You feel all these condemning thoughts about what you've done in the past, and they hang over your head, and you makes you kind of go, no, I reject those in the power and name of Jesus Christ, because Romans 8:1 says, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I am in Christ, and I don't give into that in authority and power of Jesus Christ. The truth, declaring God's truth. Do it verbally. You have to do it verbally? No. But there's power through the spoken word of God. Jesus did it as an example that we can do the same thing. You know, in the past, I've given these I ams of Jesus. And I handed these out. And if you want one, you can give, I give one at the end of the service. But these I ams reveal the truth of who we are in Christ. There's about 32 or so I ams. Use these scriptures to come against those negative thoughts, impressions, and feelings. And I have a challenge today. I ask you guys to come. I'll give these out. I'll put them in the back here. This is my challenge today. Take this list where you struggle. We all have struggles. Pick some of those ones that you struggle with. Even if it's two or three. Or if you're really bold and you really want to go for it, memorize more. Pick those scriptures. Pick the passage and memorize the statement. Pick the passage, memorize the verse, however you want to do it. And when those thoughts come up, verbally say, no, I reject the authority of Jesus Christ, and speak the truth. I am a child of God. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Or there's another challenge. Hey, Reed, I don't have a good memory. Take this list for the next month, and when you spend time with God, or in the morning, Matthew 5:13 and 14 says, I am the salt and light of the earth. John 1:12, I am God's child. John 15:1, I am the branch of the true vine, a channel of his life. John 15:15, I am Christ's friend. Daily, just go through and read that. What if I did all this? Take a minute, two minutes, and start thinking, and start drenching. Go through the spiritual colon cleanse. Fill your mind with this and put on your refrigerator. And when thought comes in, oh, I forgot that. I come against you in authority of Jesus Christ. I have been set free from sin. This area of my life, I am set free from sin in Jesus' name. Declare it, believe it, and hold on to it. Cast that thought out. Bring every thought into the captivity of Jesus Christ. It is time, you guys, we stand against the enemy. We have the worship team come forward. We need to be aware of the spiritual battle. We need to intentionally reject the lie, proclaim the truth, and believe the truth. Listen to that again. Intentionally reject the lie, proclaim the truth, believe the truth. We need to do that. This passive, lukewarm, I'm sitting back and letting the devil gum me to death, needs to stop. We need to stand against him. He's defeated. His everything, his power is in the lie. Where are you at today? Have you been listening to his lies, the enemy's lies? James 4:7 says this. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That's a neat picture. In ourselves, the enemy could easily overpower us. In Christ, when we submit to God, the devil runs off. He flees. He's scared because he's defeated and there's no way he can stand against the truth. How do you submit to God? You submit your life to these three sources of truth: Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and his word. Today, if you are feeling like you are part of the spiritual battle, I'm going to go out and I'm going to hand these out when we worship. But I want you today, if that is you, I want you to cry out to Jesus. I want you to hold on to the truth of Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to work, to reveal his truth so you can overcome that lie in your lives. It is time, you guys, that we stand. And you know what? It makes me think, see these beautiful children over here? They will only model us. Do you want your kids, Satan, running all over your kids? I don't want that. If we're not living it, those beautiful children of ours aren't going to live it. If we become and walk in the truth, we overcome the enemy through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our kids will see that and walk in the truth. Today, stand in the truth. Let us worship.